continue on that, on humiliation of Christ. And just want to let you know, and next week I'm going to go through on the temptation of Jesus, where the enemy tempted Jesus in the wilderness. And we are going to see that spiritual battle, how Jesus was able to overcome the enemy. We are going to start studying on that next week. And after that, we are going to see the active obedience of Christ. And what do you mean by active obedience? How he was able to obey the Father. He was subject to the Father. We are going to see on that. Then we are going to see the passive obedience of Christ. That means how he suffered in his obedience. The punishment that he went through. All that. The passive obedience of Christ. And probably that the death of Christ. That will take probably about 2 to 3 months alone. Because we are going to see a good picture on that. The church has not been taught very clearly on that. We really say Jesus Christ died on the cross, and basically very short terms we are going to take a deep look in that, into that. Then after that we are going to see the resurrection of Christ, his ascension to the Father. Then after that how he's seated at the right hand of the Father, then his second coming. Okay, so we are going to get a good picture of Jesus Christ. And if you want to see a good picture, I really encourage you to come every Sunday so you will not miss anything. Alright, this is really good stuff and very good for for ourselves, for our spiritual growth. So, after today's study, I think many of you have a kind of a picture who Jesus is, because we have heard probably from different churches and what we have learned, and also what we have heard from the world and also from the traditions. But I believe that after this study, you will have a different view who Jesus is, a picture of Jesus. Because we are going to get into the scriptures today, and we are going to see what the scriptures say. And also, if the scripture says, that's what we need to believe, not what the world says or what the tradition says. Sometimes, maybe the scriptures may not say something, but the concept is there. Like the word Trinity, the scriptures doesn't tell anything about the Trinity, but the concept of the Trinity is there. So you need to look at the scriptures, and sometimes you need to look at the concept to get a good picture. Alright, so today we are going to study on the humiliation of Christ. Humiliation. The word humiliation means reducing from a higher position to a lower position. As humility. As humiliation. From a higher position to a lower position. Now, where did the humiliation of Christ begin? It began at incarnation. That's where it began. It continued, began in incarnation, and it continued in his whole life, that humiliation, until his death. There is some scriptures in the Bible that shows, in very few scriptures, in a nutshell, his humiliation is, if you look at the nutshell of this, is if you can speak in a few words, there is a book where Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 2 verse 6, says in a nutshell the glory of Christ's humiliation. Philippians chapter 2 starting from verse 6 says, this is talking about Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Look at the contrast of the position here. Form of God, equal with God. See those words here. Almighty, all-powerful God. You can see the form of God. Form of God means it's truly his, the nature of Jesus is the same as God. Same nature, same essence, form of God. equal with God means having the same perfections of God, same name as God, same worship that means attributed to God. He is infinitely high, infinitely higher than anybody else, Almighty God. Now, in humiliation, he was in the from the very highest position, he came to the very lowest position. The Bible says, and being humble, verse 8, as a man, that's a very low position from the highest position of God. To be clothed as a man is a very low position. Not only that, he went even deeper. He went even deeper to a lowest position of man. That is a servant. And he says that he humbled himself as a man, in appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient. He became a servant. This is what is called humiliation of Christ. From the highest to the lowest, to the deepest low. Now, if you look at his birth in Luke chapter 2, where the humiliation began, we saw this last week, as I'm going to continue on this. Luke chapter 2, we see in verse 4 how Joseph, they were called, there was a census that was issued by the government that everybody to be registered. And also, verse 4, Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary. Then it says, verse 6, so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth his firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room them in the inn. Wow. Here, the baby, this baby, the birth was different. It's not how the world presents. He was not born in a palace. This baby, there was no cradle to rock him. There was no nurse to take care of him. There is no doctor, no hospital, no hotel room, no blankets to cover him. But in a manger, what is a manger? A manger is where cattle and horses stay. That's where it is. That's where the cattle and horses, their foods are being kept for them to eat. That's where the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who became a man, and he was born there. This is different. The perspective of the world offers. This is different. If you turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 27 says, it says here, but will God indeed dwell on the earth? But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heavens of heavens cannot contain you. How much less this temple which I have built. What he's saying is, will God, he cannot even dwell even in the heavens or the heavens of heavens. He's so glorious. He's so magnificent. He's so majestic. Oh, no. See the humility, how he came from the heavens and came to a manger. Wow, now that is amazing. He was brought to the lowest point. Verse 8 says, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone and around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings, great joy, which will be to all people, for there is born to you this day is the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. What you see here is that this beautiful incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ was given by God to shepherds. It was not given to the Pharisees, not given to the doctors of the law or to the people who were very intellect, but to shepherds. That is amazing. And you know what? Jesus was born to an extremely to a poor family. When I say poor, I'm talking in poverty, because they were really living in poverty. Now, if you turn with me to Leviticus chapter 12, Leviticus chapter 12, verse 1, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a woman has conceived and born a male child, then she shall be unclean 7 days, as in the days of her customary impurity she shall be unclean. And on the eighth day, the flesh of her foreskin shall be circumcised. This is a circumcision. Then she shall then continue in her blood of her purification 33 days. She shall not touch any hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purification are fulfilled. Now, verse 6, when the days of her purification are fulfilled, whether for a son or a daughter, she shall bring to the priest a lamb for the first year as a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove as a sin offering to the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then he shall offer it. Okay, then see verse 8. And if she is not able to bring a lamb, that means if she cannot afford, if she doesn't have money to bring a lamb, then she may bring a 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons as a burnt offering, and the other as a sin offering. So the priest shall make atonement for her, and she will be clean. Now, during the time of purification, Joseph and Mary, they were so poor, they could not afford a lamb. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 2, verse 24. Luke 2:22-24. Now, verse 22 says, now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, that's not exactly what we read in the book of Leviticus. Because they were God-loving people, they wanted to obey the law of God, they brought him to Jerusalem, that is Jesus, to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said to the law of the Lord. What did they bring? A pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. They couldn't afford a lamb. They were so poor. Imagine, Jesus was not born in a palace. He was born in extreme poverty family. Joseph could not even afford a lamb. But go back to Luke chapter 2, back again, when the angels came, and verse 13 says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to the highest, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. You know, I'm just thinking, if a person who is extremely rich, if they had their first child, they will give a huge party and announce the whole world. And they will show it up with their wealth. But it didn't happen that way. Remember at the inauguration of the president, how the media and television and everybody comes and shows how great it is, you know. But the birth of Jesus, it didn't happen that way. It was not told to the entire world, because he's such a popular person from a men's perspective. But it was told to some shepherds. And here we see, it was the angels in heaven came and started to worship and praise him. Wow! He didn't want praise from people, from the world, but it was the angels praising and worshipping this magnificent event in front of who? Some poor shepherds? That doesn't make sense, does it? Yes, that doesn't make sense from the world's perspective. Yes, from the God's perspective. Because the way of God is different. Wow. It was a heavenly praise. Because you know why? The Son of Righteousness was born. The Savior was born. If you turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 says, 1 Timothy 3:16, God was manifested, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit. Then what it says, that it's seen by angels. That's what he's talking here. Angels came and glorified God, and they sang, and the multitudes of angels. Wow! What a choir. Now if multitude of angels are singing, nobody else saw. Isn't that amazing how God shows only to some people his revelation, not to everybody? Nobody else saw. It was shown only to the poor shepherds. Wow. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 6 says, Hebrews 1 6 says, but when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. Wow. Let all the angels of God worship him. How much more we should worship him for what he has given us, salvation. And Luke chapter 1 verse 47, even Mary said, 46, Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. Here Mary is worshipping now, saying, my soul magnifies the Lord. And she says, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Even Mary acknowledged that she's a sinner. Here she needed a Savior, and her spirit was rejoicing as my God and my Savior. He is called Emmanuel, God with us. You know what? Mary saw her Creator. When the little child was born, Mary saw her Creator. If you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 17. Isaiah 17 verse 7. In that day, a man will not look. A man will look to his maker. I'm sorry. In that day, a man will look to his maker. And his eyes will have respect for the Holy One of Israel. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He will not look to the altars, the work of his hands. He will not respect what his fingers have made, nor the wooden images, nor the incense altars. In that day, when the Son is born, you don't have to look into the altars. You don't have to look into the images. You don't have to look what man has made. You don't have even to look into the tabernacle, because he is the tabernacle who came from heaven. He is the temple. Wow. He is the maker. In that day, man will look into his maker, his creator. Here, Mary, seeing the Creator. And Mary is excited, worshipping God. The angels are worshipping God. But where was he born? In a manger. Wow. Remember, Jesus said, I am the vine. Jesus did not say, I am the cedar, or I am the oak, which are very tall trees. But he said, I am the vine. Wine is the lowest, is the weakest. It's not the tall tree. The sky opened and the righteousness was brought to earth. Wow. This is what happened. the righteousness of God was brought to earth. If you turn with me to Psalm chapter 85, verse 11. Shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Verse 13, the righteousness will go before him and shall make his footsteps our pathway. Wow. Here we see the truth that spring out of the earth. Jesus said, I am the truth and the life. He is the truth that came from him, from the earth. And here righteousness will go before him and shall make his footsteps our pathway. He has given us the pathway of righteousness. Wow, amazing. And of course he was born where? In the birthplace of David, the city of David, Bethlehem. And I said, Christ, this Bethlehem, the place where he was born, is very poor. And he was born to a very poor family. Of course, you know the scripture, John 1:46, says, can anything good come from Nazareth? Was born to a very poor family. First Adam was created as a grown-up, right? The second Adam was born as an infant. Just like all the other children, he has to grow up just like a little baby. He was a little infant, had to be carried by Mary. He was fully human, also fully God, but fully human. And he has to grow up, even grow up in his wisdom. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 2, verse 40. To grow up like all the other children, without any exception, because he was fully human. Luke chapter 2, 40 says, and the child grew and became strong in spirit and filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. See verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and men. Here we see he was born. When he was a little baby, suddenly he didn't have all the knowledge. He had to grow in this wisdom as he grew, just like anybody else. You understand? The Bible says he grew up in wisdom and increasing in knowledge. And Luke chapter 2 verse 42. When he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. You know the story. How they went to Jerusalem. What happened? Mary and Joseph couldn't find him. He was lost suddenly. And where was he? Verse 46. Now, so it was that after 3 days they found him where? In the temple. What was he doing? Sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them, asking them questions. 47. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Let me tell you, while all the other children, 12 years old, what did you do when you were 12 years old? All the other children are playing in the streets. Jesus is in the temple. And the whole focus is on him because he was listening and asking them questions, and they were amazed of his knowledge. Wow. Now, let me ask you a question. If he has so much knowledge, and if the parents were so poor, parents, they didn't even have money to send him to a good school because they were so poor. They didn't even have money for a good education, to be trained under the feet of a rabbi. They didn't have that money. They were so poor. Turn with me to John chapter 7 verse 15. And the Jews marveled, saying, how does this man know letters, having never studied? Right? Wow. You see how God, this is the Messiah, this is the Son of God who came in flesh, eternal Son of God, how God Himself was with Him, and God is the one who gave the wisdom and the increase in knowledge of God, and He came to do the will of God, and He didn't have to go to a specific school to study. It's the wisdom of God manifested in the flesh. That's it. And also see Matthew chapter 13 verse 54. Matthew 13. Come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get his wisdom? We didn't see him going to school. We didn't see him studying under the greatest teachers. Where did he get his wisdom? And this mighty work. And is this not the carpenter's son? You know, we know this carpenter. You know, so this poor guy, carpenter during those days, is a poor profession. And is his not mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Jose, Simon and Judas, and sisters? Are they not all with us? When did this man get all these things? You know what? John chapter 1 verse 11 says, going along with that, John 1:11, came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Wow. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. You know why? People look to the outward. Jesus was not popular. They were poor. They didn't have enough money. But if you have a lot of money, and if you do a good job, and if you're wealthy, popular, people will look up to you. And people did. Because he came to his own. His own did not receive him. Jews were looking for a person who will come as a kingly Messiah who will deliver them from Rome. They didn't see the suffering part of it. The suffering Messiah who will come. Jesus began his ministry when he was how many years old? 30 years old. He began his ministry. And he had a mission. And his mission is what? To do the Father's work. And if you see the baptism of Jesus here, you see such humility again. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 3 verse 13, we see the baptism of Jesus. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John, had the Jordan to be baptized by him, and John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. John was 6 months older to Jesus. You know that if you read the story. And he's older. And here we see the humility. He is the Messiah. And John knows it when the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus and the Father said, this is my beloved Son. But Jesus is coming to John. Remember, from Nazareth to go to John River, Judea, that's a long way, that's a 3 days journey. Jesus, he is the master. He is the eternal Son of God. He should have told John, John, you come here. I don't have to come to you. I don't have to go all these 3 days journey to come to you all the way. I am the master and you are the servant. Where do you see a master going to the servant? Here it is. Humility. Talk about it. Humility. Master going to the servant. He does not ask, send John to become, but he goes to John. Remember how Mary went and visited Elizabeth? And when she went and visited Elizabeth, verse 40 says, and she entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. Of course, Elizabeth was pregnant with John here, and it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice, saying, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And here we see that then it says that, but why is it this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Why is it that the mother of the Lord should come to me? Isn't that the same parallel what we see here? How Jesus going to John the Baptist, and even at the very beginning when he was pregnant, still the mother of the Lord going to the Elizabeth. Wow. What humility. And John the Baptist, even in his pregnancy, even in the baby's mother's womb, he was leaped in joy. Isn't that what John the Baptist said? I'm not even worthy to tie his shoelaces. And here, John refused to baptize him. Why? Because John realized he's the sinner. Jesus is the Savior. I am the sinner. And John realizes that he sees his own unworthiness in the presence of Jesus, because he is the pitiful, sinful creature. You are the Son of God. I need to be baptized by you. But because why? Jesus had no sin. He was sinless. But yet he tells John that he needs to be baptized. Jesus says, suffer it be now. Christ accepted John's humility, but not his refusal. Christ insisted that John does it immediately. Why? To fulfill all righteousness. Christ was born under the law. Matthew 5:17 says he did not come to break the law, but to fulfill the law. Came to fulfill all the law, the moral law and the ceremonial law. All was fulfilled by Christ Jesus. Now, what about us? Huh? When I was thinking about this, what about us? Did you go to Christ? No, Christ came to us. In the same manner, Christ came to us. Just imagine that. Isn't that humility? That we don't go to Christ and say, oh, I came to Christ. That's totally false assumption. Christ came to us. We were the ones who were going on an opposite direction. We were the ones who were lost in darkness, doing our own thing. Against the will of God, we were doing our own thing. But God, in His grace and His mercy, He came to us. Wow. Why? To give righteousness. What king would dethrone himself to a dead dog like you and me? Huh? What king would dethrone himself for a dead dog like you and me? You and I are fit to go to hell. But Christ, He came to see and to save us. Can see His humiliation. This is amazing. There's no other religious leader who was born, ever born like this. No other. Buddha was born in a mansion, but not Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse 68. A former God, he became a man, became obedient, and even to death, Christ. Now, even to death, even to the cross. Now, literally, you know that Christ was literally poor. I'm talking now, Christ was not spiritually poor, he was literally poor. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says, 2 Corinthians 8, 9. Paul said, 2 Corinthians 8, 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and though he was rich, talking about his heavenly position, yet for your sakes, he became poor. You see that? Same concept as Philippians, isn't it? That you, through his poverty, might become rich. Wow. He is the owner of heaven and earth. He is rich. He is perfected in his nature. He is perfect in his nature. He is rich in his nature. He's God Almighty who holds the universe. Yet, he became poor for our sake. You know, he didn't even have a home to live in. Matthew chapter 8, verse 30. Matthew 8, 20. When somebody, verse 19, a certain scribe came and said to him, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, verse 20, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. What is he saying? Even the creatures of the earth are richer than him. Even the creatures of the earth, they have a home to live, but Christ doesn't. Wow! Look at Psalm 24:1. Just the opposite of this. Psalm 24:1 says, The earth is the Lord's, and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Wow. The earth is of the Lord. He is the creator. And this earth, the whole earth belongs to him. But when Christ came, he didn't even have a home to lay his head. Wow. You talk about humility. Talk about humility. I'll tell you, that is amazing. That's unbelievable. We have no words to express. You know, Jesus, then how did he live? How did he survive? He lived upon the contributions of the others. He didn't even have money. Luke chapter 8, verse 2. Who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, and of whom had seven demons, and Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance. And here we see certain women, they are providing from their substance. You know, when somebody came to Jesus to get some temple tax, where he has to pay temple tax, Jesus didn't even have money to pay the temple tax. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 17, when they had come to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, Does your teacher not pay the temple tax? And he said, Yes. When he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him saying, Say, what do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes, from their sons or from strangers? Peter said to him, From strangers. Jesus said to him, Then the sons are free. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take a fish that comes up first. When you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and you. Wow! Amazing! He didn't even have money in his pocket. Now, what do you hear about Jesus today in the church? Huh? You hear just the opposite, isn't it? Right? He's the king. You come and give everything to you. He's the king and he has all the money. And you will be blessed if you give to the church. And you will see Jesus is a king, so we need to be like kings. He lived like a king and we need to be like a king. We need to have the best car, the best house, the best of everything. What do you see in the scriptures? You're hearing different what the churches have taught and what the world is saying, what the scriptures are saying. I'll tell you, false teachers will come and try to get your money using the word of God, because Satan knows the word of God. Of course, the Bible says that we need to give offering to the church for the ministry, but it doesn't try to, you know, try to squeeze your pocketbook. And it doesn't say that if you don't give, a curse will fall upon you. There is no manipulation trying to force you. And here we see the opposite. Jesus, of course, he was a king, but he was poor, poverty. He even didn't have a place to lay his head. You know what? You know that Jesus, when he died, he didn't even have a tomb on his own. Yeah. Matthew chapter 27, verse 58. Matthew 27. And when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had thrown out of the rock, and rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. Jesus didn't have in his own. He didn't have his own tomb. It was a rich man's grave that he was buried. Now, let us see the humility of Jesus in the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 53. Some of the things what I taught will remind you again. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. This is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. 800 years before Jesus was born, he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. He is not going to be grown as up a cedar tree, but as a tender little plant. It means it's not going to be noticeable. Do you see a little tender plant with all the bushes and the trees and so forth like that? But tender plant is not noticeable, right? Because he's still alive, little. So Jesus, when he was even born, was not noticeable. Why? Because he was low. He was living in humility. Then he says here, and as a root of a dry ground. You know what is a dry ground? It's not a wealthy ground. It's a dry ground where he came. Nazareth, what good thing come out of Nazareth? What good thing come out of Mary? She's dry ground, poor virgin, poverty, carpenter's family. That's dry ground. Then he says here, he has no form of comeliness. You know what is comeliness? Comeliness means handsome. Look in the dictionary, you will see the word comeliness means handsome. It means good looking. He had no form of comeliness. He was not handsome. He was not good looking. See the next verse. He says, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was not the beautiful blossom plant that came up suddenly. He was not good looking. He didn't come looking like a prince. There was no beauty. He did not come like a film star. He did not come like the movie Jesus, the guy in the movie Jesus. Good looking guy. No, the Bible, the scriptures is different what the movie is saying. That's what the scriptures say. He did not come like the beautiful painting of Jesus, blue-eyed, blonde-haired, European good-looking guy. No, there's no beauty. He was not handsome. That's how God wanted to be that way. I'll tell you, that's why I'm even against the movie. Because a lot of people, they look at the movie, they look at Jesus and say, wow, this is me. But I'll tell you, the Bible says, faith comes not by seeing, but by hearing the word of God. That's how you get saved. In the movie, it's faith is a feeling that you see somebody's picture and see, this is Jesus. That's not Jesus. God told in the Old Testament, in the commandments, Ten Commandments, don't make any image of himself. Not even a movie of an image. That people will have a desire, adoration for that picture. And people, how many times they put the picture of Jesus? That's not the picture of Jesus. That's what the world has told us. That's what the tradition has told us. We should go what the scriptures say. This is the scripture. This is what the word of God says. We need to worship God in spirit and truth. Not looking at a picture. Not picturing him. Because I'll tell you, God, you know, if a handsome guy came, God made Jesus very handsome, very good looking. I mean, with all the money and so forth like that. Then all the Pharisees and everybody would follow him. A lot of people would follow him. But God didn't do that way. God ways are different. Jesus lived among the poor. He lived among the poor. And where was his companions? The tax collectors, the harlots, the thieves. That's where God wanted him to go. God wanted him to go to the people, you know, people who are totally poor, totally who are lost. That's where God wanted him to go. Wow, this is amazing. He was rejected. Then it says here, he was despised and rejected by men. Of course he would be rejected. He's not good looking, reject. He's not rich, reject. He's not wealthy, reject. Right? That's the rule. He's not popular, reject. The Bible says that he was rejected. Listen, Isaiah says in the first scripture, who has believed our report? Isn't that true? Because his company was not the wealthy, the popular, the rich and the famous. His company were poor fishermen. Women were totally, you know, women had no class during that time. Jesus is the one who liberated the women. They were despised. He was rejected by the majority. He was a man of sorrows. Wow. Let me ask you. This is true Jesus, and some of us, some saw the beautiful glory of Jesus, although he was not good looking. If you turn with me to John chapter 1 verse 14, open their minds. John 1:14 says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Father, the full of grace and truth. I'll tell you, only to some you can see his glory. We beheld his glory. Do you desire to follow this Jesus, Jesus of the Bible? The woman who washed his feet and with tears, you remember that story, she washed his feet and anointed with expensive oil because she beheld his glory. If you turn with me to Psalm 84, Psalm chapter 84. Lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. It doesn't say how lovely is Las Vegas. It doesn't say how lovely are the shopping malls. My soul longs, yes, faints. Oh, my soul longs for Las Vegas, for the shopping malls. My heart and my flesh crying out for these worldly things. It doesn't say that. But he does say, how lovely is your tabernacle. Jesus is the true tabernacle. How lovely is he. My soul longs for him. It faints for the court of the Lord. My heart and my flesh is crying out for the living God. He is the living God who came down from heaven. Is your soul crying out for him? Are you longing for him? Is your flesh crying for him, for the living God? Or are you crying for material things? Are you longing for material things? Where is it? Where is your heart? I'll tell you, even David said, verse 10, for a day in your court is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Wow. Amazing. See the picture of Jesus. See his humility. When you see his humility, you will brought to zero. You will brought to zero. And this is where we should yearn for him. Our soul should cry for him. Because what God has done, this is the way he provided salvation. He provided salvation first in humility for us. That in our humility, when our pride is the one that, you know, is a hindrance for salvation, a lot of people because of pride, right? So that pride should be taken off. Pride, once the pride is taken off, when we see who our Messiah is, then I'll tell you, you will cry out for Him. You will yearn for Him. You will ask, oh, I want Him. And you will want to know more of Him. Not what the world has been teaching or the tradition has been teaching. Let's pray. Father, we praise You. We thank You, Lord, for the Word of God, which is above tradition, which is above our imaginations. Father, thank You for revealing these things to us through the Word of God. Your Word is perfect and it's eternal. Thank You, Lord, for showing us a true picture, a picture of the humiliation of Jesus, His birth, and who He was, Lord. As we have been given a different picture before, and now we realize that's a false picture. That's a false Jesus. Oh, Father, we pray and ask, Lord, that we would follow true Jesus in humility. He washed the disciples' feet, and that's humility. The King of kings and the Lord of lords became a servant, and to wash somebody's feet is true humility. And He told us, gave an example and told us to follow His example. Oh, Father, we pray and ask, Lord, how we have sinned against You in this area, how we have not followed Your ways, Lord. A lot of times we have lived in pride, and we have talked in pride, and we have behaved in pride, and we have shown off in pride, just like the world. Many times we wanted to copy the world instead of copying You, Lord. Yes. So, Father, we pray and ask, Lord, that You would give us the grace, Lord, that we would copy You. We would imitate You, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. We are going to have communion.